you'll find it the same way in your homes, and pray that God can use this time to continue to strengthen us and to show us more of Him. And thankful for the things that Chris shared. Thank you for the prayer there, and do have a few thoughts here that I have prepared to share here, and I would the few thoughts that I have here, I put a title of to Fear Thou Not, because God has a plan for you. And this came to me just because of what God is teaching me in my own life, and there's an endless amount of things to be fearful about. We can fear and worry about a situation, and when that's over, we can jump on the next situation, and just on and on it goes, to where all of a sudden our life can be full of fears, and we're not getting anywhere in our life, and then, especially the time that we're in now, there's a lot of things to be that we can be very fearful about. And when you don't have to listen to much about the world as we know of the economy, and then they claim our freedom is going to be challenged, and the virus, and the list just goes on and on, to where it's a very easy time to become very fearful of what the future holds here. But in all this, God has, I look at God as having an overall plan, and as He does in each situation, each little thing in our life, I don't believe that God lets anything come before us that He doesn't have a plan to do something with it. So that's the few things I'd like to talk about here, mostly on the fear of situations that we run into in our life. I'll go to First John 4 verse 18. It says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And so that word torment kind of stuck out to me, and I can say from my own experience of I can relate to that if we sit in fear of situations, why it has torment. And when you think of torment, or someone that's tormenting someone, you think of something that just keeps going on and again, and just they're not letting up. Something that just won't go away. When I think of torment, and I think that's what the devil does to us if we live in fear. It's a torment to us. And I believe when God created us, our bodies, He did not give us, our bodies weren't made to fear, and that's why it torments us. I believe someone who is continuously living in fear will also eventually be physically sick, because of, that's not how God created our bodies. So someone who has a lifelong of fear, I believe it will affect their physical body as well. I will say that there is there's a few different fears I feel that the scriptures talk about. There's a healthy fear of God where we need the healthy fear of God in our lives to put God in His rightful place before us. And then there's also the fear of what most of us would have grew up with, a fear to face God, a fear to, when we think of the end of our life or death would suddenly take us, of just that awful fear of where our destination is going to be. So that fear, I believe, is a is a good fear for the unconverted person to have, because that's where God is working in their lives. So that's also not the fear that I'm specifically talking about, is the fear of where you stand before God, but it can probably fit in here at times too. So there's, as I started looking into the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, there was probably 60 or 70 verses there that God told his people not to fear. And I just have a few of them here. Psalm 27 verse 1, Psalm of David, says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp around against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident." And that is a very familiar scripture that I have. We hear that scripture being used, and as I was thinking of this fear of if the Lord is our light and He's our salvation, and the Lord is the strength of our life, if the Lord is everything to us, all of our strength, then we don't have anything to fear. All situations can be put in His hands, and we don't need to fear, because we know that God is all-knowing and He has the strength and the ability to work things out in our lives if we humble ourselves before Him. In the 27, Psalm 27, the third verse that I read there, "Though an host should encamp against me," I think that there's the spiritual warfare that we don't even see out there. I believe that Satan is always trying to attack us, and I believe, you know, he can have a host of his angels that are against us and trying to cause us to stumble, and most of the time we may not even realize it, but it's the hand of the mercy of God that is there protecting us. And in Corinthians, he says God won't. Corinthians 10:13 says God won't let us be tempted above what we are able, and with what temptation we do face, He'll make a way of escape. That's just kind of my own words for the scripture there. So if we would see everything that would be around this way, fear would probably overtake us. Psalm 46 verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 2, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." And that stuck out to me. God is our refuge and our strength. He's our place where we can go for a refuge. He's our strength. And a very present help in trouble. He's help at any given time. He's there ready to help anytime we are in trouble. And because of that, verse 2 there says that therefore will not we fear. And even though the earth can be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, we haven't seen anything to that physically happen. When we think of those things, it makes things that we do see seem small. But even in those times, that the psalmist there says that we don't need to fear, because God is there, and He's our strength and our refuge. A few verses in the New Testament, Luke 1:74-75, that He would grant us unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And that is God's heart, that as He delivered us out of the hands of our enemy, that we would now serve Him without fear. Romans 8:15, very special verse. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that as we find ourselves crying, Abba, Father, just picture ourselves as trusting God with everything. You know, we have, those of us that have smaller children, we can see where they can just put their whole trust in you. You can tell them just anything, and they just will trust you. And just picture that as between God and man. And there's no doubt in our children's small minds that what we do and the things that come before them, that daddy and mommy are going to take care of them. They're going to be worked out. So may we have so much more of a feeling towards God and His ways, because He is perfect. We know us as parents can fail, make mistakes, but we know God has never done us wrong, has never made a mistake. So let us grab on to that all the more, and trust God with all of our situations. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So in saying all this, I know that there's times when we carry heavy things in our heart about a situation. It may be in our home, in the church, or many different areas, many different situations. And it can be very hard at times like this to not have fear of the outcome, or even more so, even, you know, to have a merry heart that God tells us that we should have. We know in the last week there's been some close, dear brothers and sisters that were sick and still are, and it causes our hearts to be heavy on those situations because we don't know what the outcome is. So, you know, there's many other situations in our Christian journey that can give us heavy hearts. In Paul, in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4, Paul, he said, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. So I do believe that there's times and situations in our life where things are a real burden to us and are heavy laden with situations, because we can't always see the end. But somewhere in all that, God wants us to trust Him and see what He's trying to show us. And so I believe that there's times that we do have the heavy hearts. And the reason I say this is we know there's professing Christians that they can be in some terrible situations and just act like there's nothing going on, nothing wrong, and choose to ignore it, and you don't see much concern coming from those people. So I don't want to portray that we just go on and ignore any situation that we're around, but somehow that we could find a joy that in all situations. We know that, because we know that we're subject to trials as we journey in this land here below. James 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, which would also be translated to various trials. And knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Can we see this when we are going through a trial? Is the love and mercy of God that lets this happen? Can we see that as when we're going through a trial? When we pray to God, we often ask God to perfect us. We have many areas in our lives that need perfection, and so God uses trials to work these things out in our lives. Because I put here, how do we expect that to happen? How do we expect God to perfect us without trials? It's through the trials of life that we can draw nigher to Him and find if it is. So the verses we just read, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, if God could just I was thinking, if God would just dump a bucket of patience in our hearts, what glory would that be to Him? You know, it says He can cause the rocks to bring forth praises to Him. And so God wants something more than that. He wants us to be shaped and molded so that we can bring forth such fruit as He desires, as the glory that He wants from His people. So I think that in my own life, I can pray for God to continue to shape and mold me, but then the first little trial comes along where I can we forget what we pray for, and we that trial says the trying of your faith worketh patience, so that the trying of our faith, whatever situation it may be in, because we buck at it and we don't let God do the work in us, and we try to refute it and whatever else, however we try to go against it, and God is sitting there trying to use it to perfect us, and if we go against it, why then it can't work patience like God's heart would be for these trials or whatever area that God is trying to work in our lives. I'm just using patience because of the scripture that I read there. So that's the, I have a few scriptures here in closing. Proverbs on a, you know, for not fearful, and have a, Proverbs has something to say about a merry heart gives me a greater longing for it. And it says in Proverbs 13 and 15, it says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And I think that's where that goes back to being living in fear of being fearful. Here it says, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken, and that will break us down. But the one with a merry heart, it says he has a continual feast. A merry heart doeth good like the medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And in Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And sometimes it's hard to grasp that verse when we're in the midst of a trial or facing a situation, but somehow we should always remember that all things, not just some things, but all things work together for those that love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. And we could talk about this for a long time, of God's love and care for us. Later in Romans it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So scriptures are full of the love that God has for us, and how He'll care for us, that will help us to realize that that we have very little to fear. And And then in Matthew 6:34, I just paraphrase that verse. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And I think that's just a different translation there. Didn't write it down, but tomorrow will have its own things. God wants us to live in today, and if we are not worrying about tomorrow, then we can go through this day with peace and joy, and then take tomorrow as it comes, and not worry about the following days. So that's all that I would have. Something that the times that we're in, why you know, are can bring challenges in many different ways, and trust that we can just continue to look into the one that the author and finisher of our salvation. He has started a work in us, and if we walk humbly before Him, why He will finish the work in us as well, and trust that we can find confidence in that in the coming days and situations and trials that we face, and trust that God will continue to lead and direct us. So I maybe have a word of prayer here to close. Lord, we do come before You, and we know, Lord, that the things that we have, Your scriptures that we have read, Lord, the things that You've been speaking to me, Lord, we trust that this can become a reality and a real thing in our life, Lord, where we would, our confidence and our trust would more wholly be on You, and Lord, that we would not fear the things that we have no control over anyways. So Lord, we just pray that You would continue to be our guide and continue to speak to us and shepherding us along this life's journey. So we just thank You for Your word and pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.